Thank you all for being here this morning as we continue our series, The King Has Come. So think of, with me over these last couple of years, 2020 and 2021, very eventful years, needless to say, and unprecedented. Anyway, throw that out again. But anyway, a very interesting 2 years that we've experienced. And what I find fascinating about these last couple of years, and one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to 2022, is that the things that you would thought would never happen, happened. So, schools shutting down, going online. Who would ever thought that would happen? Happened. Sporting events with no fans. Who ever thought that would happen? No one ever thought that. Churches going fully online. Who ever thought that would ever happen? No one. This pandemic, everything that we've experienced, the things that have happened, nobody could predict that. And we ask ourselves, the things that we've experienced, had we ever thought they would ever be possible? And that the answer is no, we never thought those things would happen. This morning, as we begin to celebrate Christmas more and more and think about Christmas, we think about Jesus and the King has come. We look at a story and really are reminded of the birth of Jesus and knowing this, that what seems impossible was made possible. Now, in the world's eyes and what they would see and what they would know and recognize in the birth of Jesus, they would be saying the same things that we say about the pandemic. I never thought that would happen, but it happened. Listen, because it's impossible, but God is the God of impossible. Amen? And so this morning, I want to talk about this impossibility becoming possible. What does that look like? And we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 1, as I believe it gives us a great understanding of this impossible becoming possible. And it's coming from Gabriel to Mary. So if you would, turn to Luke chapter 1. You know, we're going to be talking, we did last week and in the weeks to come, about some dialogue with the angels. Talking and speaking, making declarations about the birth of Jesus. Last week we talked about Gabriel and him speaking to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And so now what we find is Gabriel's not done. He is going to continue to speak, and he is speaking to Mary. And so Luke chapter 1, we're going to be reading a few verses. If you have your Bible, you can open it up. If you have your notes, you can pull those out. And it'll be up on the screen also as we read Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, and we'll go through 38. And if you would, if you're able, would you stand as we read God's Word this morning? So this is what God's Word says in Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that's in your word. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would move in a mighty way this morning in our hearts and in this place, transforming us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think about Gabriel, you know, Gabriel is very interesting. We see him as, for the second time here in Luke, as he spoke to Zechariah and speaks to Mary. There's only two angels really in Scripture that were named, and one was Michael, and now you have Gabriel. Now, Gabriel's not spoken of as an archangel, which is pretty high ranking, but he did have a very high rank, and that's obvious just because of his mission that he was on. He's also mentioned in the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 8, we hear of Gabriel also. He tended to have a great purpose of bringing some very important news to people. And this is one of the biggest. As he came to Mary to declare that she would give birth to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but that just is overwhelming to me when I read this story of Mary. Just thinking and putting myself in kind of that situation of news that big and that amazing to come in my life, but for her even more so. And think about this. Think about a teenager that is experiencing and encountering Gabriel, hearing this news. And not only that, she can't see the future, and we can look back on it ourselves. But listen, the news that she was getting, this mission that she was going to be on, would change the world forever. What an amazing place to be. What a scary place to be for such a young girl. But this was the message given from Gabriel to Mary. Now, as we read through this story, I want to share just a few things. And this is some things that have impacted me in this story. So a lot of times I'll just give you some lines, pointers, things, not pointers, but some things that I believe is being said in the Word. And this is true, but even more so this morning, some things that have really kind of changed me as I've read this story, what it means to me. And I think for you too, I think as you read through the story of Gabriel and Mary, and what Gabriel is saying and what Mary says, there are things in this that should change you. It should alter how you live your life based on this event that took place. And I'm just going to give you a big picture here. As we think about this impossible, and really you look in Scripture and it says there, and it says that, with God all things are possible. Really, that is the foundational truth that we find all through the birth of Jesus, all through time for all of us. But here's what I love about this story. As I read the impossibility of what happened and how God made that possible, and I recognize and I realize that same possibility is what allows us to have a relationship with God. Can I just throw this out and say, for a sinful world to be restored and redeemed and given a relationship with a holy and perfect God is impossible, but God made it possible through His Son Jesus. What an incredible story of impossibility turned possible. And I can just point my fingers back at me and say this, and you might be able to say the same thing about your life and say this for you right now where you're sitting. Maybe you're a believer, you've been following after Jesus, and you can look in your life and say it's impossible in human terms to think about how I got to this point in my life. Listen, only because of God are we who we are. And so praise God for the impossible becoming possible. The redemption of the world. The salvation of people made possible through Jesus Christ. So I want to just talk a little bit about this passage. So keep your Bibles open if you have your Bibles, and underline some things. Circle some things in there that mean a lot to you, that God has laid upon your heart. And I know I do that. It makes a difference for me. So when I read this, one of the first things that just kind of jumps out to me and really changes me is this, is that I'm humbled at the abilities of God. I'm humbled at the abilities of God. Now you may say humbled, I don't know, but I say humbled. I am humbled at the abilities of God. Now before I go into what I'm talking about, just understand when I say abilities, I'm not talking about some learned characteristic or trait that He has. This is just who God is. When I speak of abilities, I'm talking about His character, who He is as a God, as God, Heavenly Father. So I'm not talking about something that He is trained to do or anything like that. When I speak of abilities, this is who He is. And I'm humbled at His abilities, what God can do, the power and the strength and the sovereignty of our great and mighty God humbles me and changes me. And that's what we find in here. So let's look at this passage again. Let's go back to verse 26. So let's take a look at this, and I want to just point out a few things for you. And it says this, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I want to stop there for a second. You know, there are people that will try to deny the virgin birth of Jesus. There are people that will take that out and just say, you can't explain it, just throw it out. I'll just tell you, if you throw out the virgin birth, then the foundation of Christianity begins to crumble. And this is what I'm talking about. When we talk about the abilities of God, what makes this story so important to us is that we begin to see the miraculous power of God at work. This is something that man cannot do, and there's a reason why this story is all about God. Now first we see the very contextual, historical background of this story, who it is. We see it's Gabriel speaking on behalf of God, speaking to Mary, who is a virgin in a specific town at a specific time. Listen, there's no accident here. God's plans are perfect, and this word is written perfectly so that when we look at this story, we can say this isn't some fanciful story. This isn't some dream we've made up or a hallucination that we've had. This is a real place at a real time with a real person. And so we know that we stand upon truth and fact that only is about God. And so that's important for us to remember as we begin to look at this miracle that God has done. Now look, it says this as he begins to speak to Mary. He says, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. So let's talk just a little bit about the abilities of God in this passage. One is this, that our Jesus was going to be born to a virgin. Now, several times in this passage it says Mary was a virgin. Why is that over and over again? Listen, because this is powerful. There's no questioning. It's there because we're supposed to understand, and all people will understand. There's no question about this. This is who she is. And this is how Jesus is going to be born. And I believe it's in here like this because, listen, this shows the miraculous power of God, the supernatural power of God. And why is that important to us? Listen, if it was just a natural birth, if she bore a son that was conceived by her husband Joseph, listen, this would be a different story that we'd be talking about right now. You know, Chuck Swindoll says this, I think is very interesting. He says this, a natural Savior. Again, a natural birth. A natural Savior provides no supernatural help. A human Savior offers no divine hope. A sinful Savior is really no Savior at all. And so why do we read these words? Why is God using Mary, a virgin, to give birth to the Son of God, Jesus? Why is the story just like this? Listen, because this is all about God's supernatural, miraculous work. I think it's amazing that we're able to look and to listen and to hear this story, to remember this story, and to say, that's only God. Those are the best kind of stories. Amen. When people look at your life and they see where you were and where you've come from and where you are today, they should look at your life and say, that's only God. And that's what we find in this story. You see, it's God in the flesh. If it wasn't the divine being born in the flesh, then listen, we wouldn't have that supernatural rescue and redemption from Jesus, our Savior. Because of who He is, the God-man, we're able to have redemption, we're able to be rescued from our perfect, sinless Savior. Listen, God's ability to work a powerful miracle is life-altering and life-changing. But here's what else I find so interesting. I'm humbled by God's ability to use the ordinary person. I love this. Listen, Mary, you know, there's some places that will say Mary was, you know, they'll elevate her to almost deity up here. Listen, Mary was a girl. Just a girl, just like there's just boys, teenager, young. Listen, there's no supernatural power there. Listen, she was sinful just like all of us. Listen, this is who God chose to use. And listen, praise God, because I am humbled that if God can use Mary, then God can use me. And today I want you to hear those words. That we should be humbled by the fact that our God, great and mighty, is so powerful that He can use even the lowliest person to do His work and to bring Him glory. And that's what we find in Mary. That is the most humbling part to me of this story, that God chose to use someone like, don't get me wrong, Mary was great. She was seemed like a good person, but listen, she's a person. And God chose to use her. And I'm grateful and I'm humble because I realize that God can use me in the same way. You know, in this passage, it says this, when she's startled and, you know, it has to be overwhelming to see Gabriel there in front of you. I can't even imagine. Overwhelming as he speaks. And what does Gabriel say? He says this, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And then says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, don't misunderstand this. This is not saying that Mary has grace that she imparts to people as almost a deity in a sense. But what this is saying is that God, this word favor, really is grace and unmerited kindness could be even said of this word. So this is God showing grace and favor, unmerited kindness to Mary. So He is pouring out His grace over her. Be encouraged, church. Be encouraged in your life today that God has that same grace for you in your life. That He wants to pour out unmerited kindness into your life because He wants to use you in powerful ways. Listen, again, Mary was great, but listen, it's all about what God has done and what God is doing in her life. And I'm humbled by the fact that we can experience that same work in our life. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27 says, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." Don't we see that in how God works? God uses the one the world would never think of using. That's who God uses. God uses people like us to help change this world. And that's what God was doing with Mary. I am humbled by His ability to move and work in people's lives. Well, let's look at this other. I want to point out this as we continue on in this passage. Verses 32 and 33. It says this, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to Him the throne of His father David. And He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and His kingdom there will be no end." Listen, I'm not only humbled by God's abilities, but listen, I am amazed at the authority of Jesus. I love it when we celebrate Christmas and the birth of our Savior, and you think about what that looks like in the manger scene and how simple that is, but then we begin to realize just who God sent, His Son, and with that, the authority that comes with this incredible gift that we've been given in Jesus. Listen, there is great and powerful authority. We don't just worship Jesus. We worship Jesus, our Savior, God in the flesh, with all authority and with all control, with all wisdom, with all sovereignty. And so when we look at this passage, what we find is Gabriel speaking on who Jesus is. Now, listen, in this, what we find are really two areas of world change. I mean, this is world changing when he speaks of Jesus. One is a theological claim of authority and power. The other is a political claim of power, of strength, and who he is and position. And both are world-changing. So he speaks, and again, it just blows me away of his authority. And he says, one, he says of this theological claim, he says, this is how he describes Jesus. He will be great. Now listen, this is more than just, you know, the Tony the Tiger, you know, with cereal saying, it's great. You know, this is, when he speaks of Jesus as being great, what he is speaking, he's speaking words that describe our God. And if you look in Scripture, Deuteronomy 10:17 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who is not partial and takes no bribe." Listen, that is what he is referencing. Jesus is great. Our God is great. This is important. And these words are important because who is Gabriel also talking about? He's also talking about John the Baptist with Elizabeth. That's what goes into this conversation. And we know that Mary goes and visits Elizabeth, right? Well, listen, John the Baptist was pretty great. I mean, he did a lot of great things. He's the forerunner of Jesus. I mean, he had followers. He was paving the way for Jesus. But listen, for Jesus, no one compares. And so for Gabriel, he said, Jesus will be great. Then he says this. He says, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. Listen, Son of the Most High. This isn't plural. You know, you might read in Scripture, in passages of Scripture that say, sons of the Most High, the sons of God, or something like that. Listen, that's a pretty good term for those that follow after God. This is not it. This is saying he will be the Son of the Most High. Holy One, Son of God. And what he's referencing is this. He's unique. He's not like everybody else. And there's a lot of people that may follow God, but there's nobody like the Son of God. That's who Jesus is. Listen, those are theological claims that change everything. God in the flesh before us, all authority and all power walking among us. Can I tell you what makes it so big? Is that God doesn't just speak about His grace and speak about His power and speak about His love and speak about His compassion. God shows it by sending His Son. What an incredible gift that is for us. Listen, He is the Son of the Most High. But listen, there's also a political claim. Let's do this real quick. He goes on and he says, He will be given the throne of David. I love this. It goes back to 2 Samuel in chapter 7. Nathan the prophet says this to David. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, there's some important emphasis there at the time. As we look at the lineage of David and the line of David with Solomon, whatever, but it was fulfilled with Jesus. You see, it's prophecy being fulfilled. It's the promises coming to pass that God has given us. And then it goes on, it says, He will reign forever and His kingdom will never end. Can I tell you what that means for us? Is that we celebrate Christmas and celebrate a Savior who is King over all the universe. He is Lord of lords, King of kings. And listen, I don't worship a politician. I don't worship a government. I worship the King of kings. We have the One who is in control of all things. No longer are we at the disposal of humanity. We are following the King. We're at His mercy. That is Jesus. And that's who we worship. Listen, that is a political claim. And His kingdom will never end. He shall sit on His throne forever and ever and ever. Isaiah in chapter 9 and verse 7 says this, of the increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end. Listen, God is in control. Jesus is on His throne and He will always be there. Listen, some incredible political, theological claims. I am amazed at the authority of our Savior. That's who we worship. That's who we celebrate. Well, listen, the last thing is this. Not only am I humbled and I'm amazed at Jesus, but here's one I think it kind of brings it back down to where we are right now. I am inspired by the availability of Mary. I'm inspired by the availability of Mary. Verse 34 says, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.'" Then verse 38, "Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." So I want to just kind of put this in context real quick. And what inspires me so much about her availability. So I was thinking about engagements, and that's who she was. She was betrothed, engaged to Joseph. And sometimes we look at that with our current culture eyes, but you can't. It's different. This is something that is years in the making here. This, her to be betrothed to Joseph, is something that's been worked out with families. I mean, this is going to be the real deal. It's going to happen for at least a year, and then they're going to have the ceremony. I mean, this is big time. It's serious. Now, listen, in our culture today, engagements are a little different. I'll be honest with you. We kind of go with the culture, some of it. You know, it's funny because I was thinking about engagements, and I actually looked online and just wanted to know, what are the most creative proposals? You guys might have creative proposals that you used. I don't know. So I started looking them up, and there's some pretty interesting ones. Like, one was a couple that got engaged skydiving. They had the ring and everything, like tandem skydiving, and he had the ring, and he pulled it out. No. There's another one who was a stuntman, and he was up on a building, him and his girlfriend at the time, and they're having a little get-together, and he walks to the edge, and he jumps off. She runs over there and looks down, and he falls on the mat, and on the big air mat thing, and on there it says, "Will you marry me?" If I was her, I'd be like, no. But listen, there's some creative things that happen. But the funny thing about engagements now, you know, we get engaged, and not as kind of, written in stone almost. You know, people get engaged. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it doesn't. They go their separate ways. You know, whatever may happen. It's just not, doesn't seem as serious anymore. Should be, but it doesn't seem that way. Well, for Mary, it was serious. Listen, for her to change and something to happen to her in her betrothment is life-altering. For her to become pregnant is humiliating. She would be cast out. She would be ostracized. She would lose everything. That's Mary. Sometimes we think of Mary based on maybe what pictures we see, things like that, you know, female, glowing, that kind of thing. Let's remember, this was a teenager in a life-changing moment. That something that was going to happen to her, that where she would never be the same. She would never have the same, probably, relationships with her community because she'd be looked down upon. She had the possibility of even losing her future husband. I mean, listen, that's what was going through her mind. But what did Mary say? She said, yes. I'm just inspired by the availability of Mary. And listen, I know that she had questions, and we see that. You know, the difference between her and Zechariah, because Zechariah had questions, and he was disciplined for asking those questions. It was because he doubted. Mary trusted. And so I want to encourage you today. And we think about Gabriel speaking to Mary, that Mary was willing to trust and to be available for God. And she said yes. Although it could have cost her everything, she said yes. Church, I want Christmas to remind us that every day we have the choice to say yes to God. That in the same way God used Mary to change this world, God wants to use you and me to do something amazing in His power and strength. He wants to use us And we have to be willing to say yes. I think Mary's declaration and statement was probably the greatest statement of faith ever. I'm your servant, Lord. Whatever you want to do. Listen, that's inspiring to me, and I hope that it challenges you today. As we talk about Gabriel speaking to Mary, for me, as I walk away from this story, what I realize is Mary said yes. And if Mary can say yes with something like that, maybe I can say yes to God for what He has for me. If Mary can trust God in something as big as that, maybe I should trust God also. You see, the same God who created all things, the same God who has called out Mary, is the same God that is working and calling you out and me out today. He is the same God. Be inspired today. Mary's not perfect, but she said yes. And I want to encourage you, are you willing and ready to say yes to God for what He has for you? Now that yes may be different. For some of you guys, your yes may be about salvation. You've never asked Jesus Christ in your life. That you've recognized in all these years that you've gone through the motions of maybe going to church, but you've never asked for forgiveness. You've never surrendered your life, said, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me, rescue me, and you've never surrendered. You never turned your life, repented, and followed after Jesus. Well, today, say yes. Say yes. Maybe for some, the yes is this. Maybe God has called you to do something, be on mission for Him, and you know, you've seen and heard Him speak of a purpose for your life and plan, and you've been reluctant because maybe it's out of your comfort zone. Maybe it seems too impossible. Can I just tell you, listen, God is the God of possible. And He wants to use you. And so maybe today you say yes. Let's see what God can do. Whatever God has laid upon your heart today, listen, He's speaking to you. May we be willing to say yes.